This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Welcome, listeners, to Postcards from the Edge. I'm your host, Amy Nelson, and with me this week is Dan Gunther from Literary Treks. Dan, thanks for coming on Postcards again.
Hey, Amy, always a pleasure to be here. I wish it was under better circumstances, though, because Discovery's over.
I know, I'm gonna cry.
Oh, man.
The season finale. Can you believe we were just waiting? And now it is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mixed feelings totally. But, yeah. Oh man, really excited to have had a great first season, but really sad that it's over.
Yeah. Well, we're obviously talking about episode 15, Will You Take My Hand? Now, listeners, if you'd like to participate and share your responses, please post your comments on the Babel Conference. And we are actually going to have two additional postcards. So not to fear, Postcards isn't ending just because Discovery is. We are going to next week do a season one overview. So look for the Discovery in the envelope. I'm going to post that again on Sunday, not to break the tradition. And then you can let me know what you thought of the season altogether, overall thoughts. And we would just love to hear you comment on that. The next week, we are going to get and ask for your predictions for season two.
That's cool.
I know, because already in this week's thread, I'm like, okay, save your predictions for later. So we are listening to you and we want to hear from you. So you can look for two additional postcards episodes to drop after this. Now, at the time of this recording, we have had 641 comments. You guys are incredible. And I know I say this every week, but I really think this has got to be the most comments in the shortest amount of mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, definitely. Every time I went back to check on more comments, there was just, you know, so many more that I had to scroll through and read. And so many opinions and thoughts out there. I think this might be, I mean, I have no idea whether, you know, this is an accurate data point or anything, but I think it's the most talked about thing ever.
Yeah. I have to agree because I get to see it every week. I really should have done, and I wish I would have thought of this sooner, to figure out the actual statistics of how many like comments per minute or comments per hour.
Hmm.
I'm so sorry, listeners. I let you down. I know. Because that would be really interesting to see those comments over time.
Get your math class to do it as a special credit project.
There you go. All right, students, get busy. Well, Dan, what were your initial thoughts after watching the season one finale?
Well, I watch each week the new Discovery episode with a group of friends. We all get together at a friend's place and gather and watch it. It's a lot of fun. And for this one, of course, we had a celebration. We had a potluck. It was a lot of fun. And then we settled down and watched this episode. And I have to tell you, there were gasps. There were laughs. There were moments where I think some people just about cried. And mm-hmm. some really amazing wow moments in this episode. It wasn't a perfect episode. There are a few little issues and that sort of thing. But overall, I think this is the cap to an incredible first season. And you know, it's one of those finales. I think it's a really difficult thing to do because you can't please everyone all the time.
Right.
But I think they did a really good job, personally. And I'm proud to have been along with them on this journey of this new Star Trek series. And I really liked this episode. And Tilly is still my absolute favorite character. And this episode really? Does not okay. change that. I love her.
I really enjoyed the episode as well. I mean, I just watch it and I'm trying to just digest everything that they're throwing at me. This new way of telling TV dramas is, you know, when I'm so used to Next Gen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like I have to watch it. I really enjoyed my rewatch over the winter break. And so I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing this episode again. I've only had a chance to watch it the once on Sunday evening because I watched After Trek. But the fan response has been great. And so let's start with Wes Huntington. He says, two moments of freaking out. I was saying, holy cow, Clint Howard. And I'm not so sure the Enterprise, though gorgeous, second freak out, was the best way to end the season unless someone special was on board.
Who could he be referring to?
Save those predictions.
Yeah, that's a great comment. All of us kind of looked at each other and gasped when we saw Clint Howard. Half of us because we know him from the original series as Baylock, of course. And the other half of the people in the room were kind of going like, isn't that Ron Howard's brother? What's he doing there?
Or there's the other half, which I know was Benny, haha, because I'm a math teacher. The other part of us were like, who's that and why is everyone freaking out over Clint Howard? And that would be me.
Nice.
But we'll get to that.
Absolutely. Well, of course, like this comment mentioned, the Enterprise was a huge addition to this episode and a big surprise at the end. And that seems to be what a lot of comments are talking about. We have Brian Louie, who says, that last scene, I cannot wait for 2019. My mind is already wondering who they are going to cast for the Enterprise crew. And Eagle Moss, I want that new USS Enterprise. You and me both, Brian. I liked how this episode bookends the first episode. It was nice that things came full circle. It was nice to have the hopeful message at the end with Michael and the speech she gave, especially in these times of turmoil. This series did not lose the ideas of Star Trek. I laughed so hard when I saw Clint Howard. That was a great cameo. Also nice to see Amanda again as well.
Yes. Christopher Baca, one of my many Christophers. We've been going back and forth. We have quite a few Chris's here. So Baca says, I don't know what to think of this episode yet. It seemed to take shortcuts and was a bit heavy, hand wavy. Seemed nice of the Klingons to just stand down without a shot fired, which seems out of character from what we saw all season. Lots of exposition at the end. I thought for a moment they were going to work up some CG magic and give us Spock and Pike on the view screen. I do like the 2018 update of the Constitution class. Time to watch the episode for a second time. And I think you'll see if you read in his comments further in the thread, he definitely has a lot more to say. And I think after his second rewatch, he says some more things. So go, listeners, and read there in the thread.
Interesting. Another thing, of course, with this episode, which Discovery has done throughout the season, are all these continuity references and that sort of thing. And Patrick Carlin comments a bit on that. Also mentions of the Betazoids and Mintakans. The clothes they wore on Kronos were very much like those of the landing party in Into Darkness. What looked like either a Seti eel or one of the bluegill parasites from Conspiracy in a frying pan right after they beamed down to Kronos. Mention of paralithium, which I'm pretty sure was the explosive referred to in Voyager's The Shoot. Ooh, nice catch. I didn't catch that one. The big gathering hall at Starfleet looking very much like the one we see in 2009.
I want to interject. I thought that was from These Are the Voyages from Enterprise.
Ooh.
That's what I was sort of thinking.
Okay. I could see that. Yeah. Kind of similar, that stadium seating feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sarek and Burnham's conversation near the end, right in the feels. Oh my God. I agree. Character moments are huge for me. And then, of course, oh yeah, did I say the Enterprise? Didn't think it was possible for it to be wrapped up in a short 45-minute span, but they did it, and amazingly well, too.
Yeah, okay, so there obviously was a lot of things I missed. So, Patrick, thank you for bringing that to my attention. And when did they mention Betazoids? I would have picked up on that. You know Troy's my favorite character.
It was when Giorgio and Tilly are meeting for the first time. And
yeah.
Giorgio says, oh, Tilly, you were by my side when we... Oh, I can't remember. They wiped out the population of Mintaka 4. And I think she said they subjugated the Betazoids or something like
that. Oh, man. Yeah. Yep, I need to watch it again. Well, Bill Sweet says, so I was preparing myself for a big apocalyptic showdown, and instead we get a good old-fashioned Star Trek with tons on talking about our values and our feelings and a peaceful resolution to the arc that began 15 episodes ago. Repeat after me, this is Star Trek.
This was one of my favorite comments and one that I highlighted as well, because yeah, that's one of those things where I was kind of sitting down to this, okay, we're gonna have a big epic battle, there's gonna be some kind of, you know, thing like that, but no, it really wrapped up in a very, in my opinion anyway, very Star Trek way, with lots of shudder talking. I know
cerebral.
Exactly, but I loved it. So Tim Robertson says, I first want to say that I am so thankful that my prediction during the last episode of Postcards was wrong when I said it had to be a big reset button. I should have given these excellent writers a lot more credit. Also, seeing the romance between Tyler and Michael end made me very happy. Yes, it was sad to see them walk away, but I don't want that relationship in the storyline. Now, a relationship I want to see is Cornwell and Lorca.
I think, me too.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I know the prediction episode's a way off, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll hold it. I'll hold it in.
Okay.
I think we are heading to Vulcan to pick up a new captain. Is only to throw us off base. I hope it is Lorca. And then the final scene, the Enterprise flying into screen, and then the original series theme song as the episode ended. Yes, I did cheer. That was a really good touch with the original series theme at the end. I was a little bit grinny and giddy at that point, I think.
Oh, yes. I think we all were. Andrea Boot says, this morning was an amazing wrap-up to a fantastic series. I cried when Michael talked about her parents. She's never opened up on screen about them before. I'm glad she was pardoned and now has her rank back. Also, hashtag Saru for Captain. He deserves his own command, and he's proven he can take the lead.
Hear, hear.
I really liked that we did get to see Burnham talk about her parents that way before. And, and you know, again, see, but, okay, do I go here? She's opening up to Ash Tyler, the one who she says that she's not going to love anymore, but yet she's opening up and sharing feelings and... So I don't know. I was a little conflicted with that whole writing of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, the best thing about this series has been the characters from the very beginning through to this episode. And every single character got at least a little moment in this episode. And of course, Burnham got the lion's share because she is the main character. And I really did love a lot of that, you know, exploring the deep feelings with and her talking about her parents and also her relationship with her foster parents, Sarek and Amanda, was really, really great to see.
Well, we just have to talk about the USS Enterprise. That was the big... No one saw that coming, right? I didn't hear any fan saying, oh, well, we're going to see the Enterprise. I mean, at least I didn't hear it.
I saw some people hoping, but yeah, I don't think anybody actually thought it was going to happen.
Right. Nothing as obvious as the Ash folk thing, right? Mm-hmm,
for sure.
Yeah. So Alexander Sanchez. Oh, okay. Alexander, you know who you are. Did anyone else squeal like a fangirl, like at a One Direction concert at the moment the USS Enterprise dropped into frame? My brother tried to hide the fact he was crying. Of course, a dear brother can't leave that be. Why you crying?
I gotta say, we started watching this episode a little late because we had the potluck and stuff. And I logged onto Facebook and I saw this comment before Dan! We started watching. I know. But it was still a moment that was not any lessened by that because it's beautiful. And that whole why you cry, I get that. Like, there were people in the room that were watching the show that aren't as big a Star Trek fan as I am, but still, you know, everyone's enjoying it. Yeah. But as soon as it came on screen, about half the people in the room turned and looked at me because they knew that I would just be, and I totally was. Even though I knew it was coming, I had been spoiled, but it still was just an amazing moment.
Absolutely. I made that mistake once before, and it was when Culber died. And I got on before, and I was like, what am I doing? I was so mad at myself.
No, that would be a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, back to the Enterprise.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries. April Taylor said, I watched this episode on my iPad with earbuds. While my GF read the paper next to me. Haven't converted her yet, still working on it. That's good, you're doing good work there. She witnessed a lot of disconnected, what? Ah! Squee! And even tears. This episode was great. Looking forward to watching it again on my large TV tonight. I can't go into details about it until after my rewatch, but suffice it to say, I nearly lost it as the registration number started coming up on the screen. Yeah, you see that NCC 1-7, and then it cuts away, and you're like, what? What?
I know, that was so good. I'm like, NCC 1701. Yeah, I screamed that at the TV. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Matthew Baker says, to quote a great captain, she is a beautiful lady and we love her.
So true. So true.
Which captain said that?
I want to say probably Kirk, but this is one that's escaping me. I don't know the quote. Oh,
Matthew, you let us know which captain, because I do apologize. Unless it's Picard. I don't know.
Yeah, that one. Oh, I hate to say it. My Star Trek knowledge is falling down there. Well, David Taylor certainly is channeling my feelings when he says, well, this just curled the toes of every TOS fan. You have to give the writers of this show some credit. They don't tiptoe around, do they? They kick butt and take names. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great comment. Kevin H. says, I got so excited that I shouted it at the TV when the scanner started spelling out the distress Starfleet ship's classification number as NCC-17, because I knew it meant that the Enterprise and Christopher Pike were soon to follow. Great way to end the season. 2019 can't come soon enough.
Definitely. Christopher Baca noticed something about the design of the Enterprise. He says, I noticed the Enterprise also has a view portal like Discovery and its Kelvin timeline sisters on the bridge. So yeah, some people out there talking about the ways in which this Enterprise looks maybe not quite exactly like the Enterprise we know and love from the original series. So they did do a little bit of a kind of 2018 gussying up of the Enterprise, you know, which I have mixed feelings about, I have to say.
Oh, really?
Just, you know, I think it could have worked to see the original as it was, but at the same time, I don't begrudge them. I totally understand, you know, wanting to update it a little bit. And all said and done, it looks beautiful. I want a model of it too. I want, every version of the Enterprise. Yeah, I want a model of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Demir D says, the Enterprise reveal was gorgeous. The cliffhanger with the priority message and garbled hail was nicely done. The Enterprise itself is beautiful and shows the kind of subtle but largely respectful update that is possible that I'd wish they'd done also to the Klingon ships, which I thought, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of ships have been changed significantly, but the Enterprise, I think, just has some little tweaks to it, which I understand.
Well, I think he says it's, you know, a respectful update.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of, it wasn't too far outside the box. They didn't go crazy with it. It's just little tweaks here and there that, you know, and it still looks like, I mean, you see it on screen. That's the Enterprise. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, James Heath says, I really enjoyed this episode, but was nervous when the camera focused on the Enterprise. I wanted to see the ship I knew and not changed radically. It is different, but it looks like an enhanced version of the ship, so I was happy. I still hope for TOS uniforms, though, when we see the crew. Reboot the look of everything else, but give me a bit more real or enhanced Prime, please.
Hmm. I have been hearing, what are they going to do with the uniforms? Mm-hmm. Because they are so, you know, TOS was, you know, 60s.
Yeah.
I'm fine if they update it. I just...
Although I have to say, just as a little digression here, during that speech, some of the people in the background, they almost seemed to be, they were wearing different uniforms, some of them, than the ones that the Discovery crew were, and they never quite focused on them. I really wanted them to, but they looked like the science officer blue color of the cage Where No Man Has Gone Before uniforms, and it looked like they had black pants, so...
Huh.
I'm not sure. And they were missing like the gold and silver highlights and stuff. So I don't know. It looked something like maybe a little bit sort of the cage uniforms. I don't know. I don't know about that. I really want to examine that closely.
I'll have to look for that on my second watch there. And Del Nakamura says, I didn't think they were going to do it, but I'm so intrigued that they are going to meet the Enterprise. I hope it's not just a tease, but it seems like it will need to be. Otherwise, the Enterprise crew will steal the spotlight.
Yeah.
So definitely. Interesting with that.
It's kind of one of those things, and somebody mentioned this on, I think it was Engage, the official Star Trek podcast or something. They're saying like Ted Sullivan, who works on Discovery, also worked on Supergirl. And that was a show that like every once in a while brought in Superman, but just like as a sidekick, kind of in the background, can't focus on them. And I feel like that's the Enterprise in Discovery. Like you can't let them steal the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I don't want it to be about the Enterprise. I like my crew of Discovery now.
Yeah. It's Star Trek Discovery. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think many people have commented on that this is Star Trek, and we read a post previously. And just really getting to the Star Trek values, because last week at the end, I was so fearful that they're putting this Terran Emperor in the main captain seat. This is not Star Trek. These are not the values. And then we get this episode to restore our faith back in the writers that, oh, yes, this is truly Star Trek. Joshua DeVries says, what an incredible positive ending. Burnham's speech at the end was wonderful. And when they all walked onto the bridge, I found myself thinking, okay, this is Star Trek. We've made it.
Yeah, it felt very much like Star Trek at the end. And I think they accomplished something great with this series, personally.
Yeah, they did.
Well, Cornelia Rue says, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, I loved the episode. I'm glad they stopped before they really betrayed the ideals of the Federation. Michael's speech to that effect was absolutely awesome. She asks, why the secrecy? It's because you know it's not who we are. I also love the fact that she admits being wrong about her action in the very first episode, because it's basically the same thing, even if her action was on a smaller scale, as it wouldn't have blown up a planet. So she says, a year ago, I stood alone. I believed that our survival was more important than our principles. I was wrong. I agree. I love that speech. That was the speech that was awesome in this episode. The one at the very end was a bit too cheesy for my personal taste. I got a huge Bill Pullman / Independence Day speech vibe from it. I hope we won't get too much Mira Georgiou in the second season. Her going free left room for that. I'm not such a huge fan of the Mira universe. The Mira characters are always too plain, obviously evil. It takes away a lot of depth. I don't mind parallel universes per se. For example, Parallels from TNG is the most awesome multiverse episode in the whole of Star Trek, and I love it. It's also a more realistic portrayal of that idea. And boy, oh boy, did I love that shot of the Enterprise coming up. I was excited, and me and my friends were holding our breath as we were looking at that gorgeous ship. I had tears in the corner of my eyes. We kept replaying that scene multiple times. Give me season two. I feel like that scene's going to be played a lot between now and whenever season two happens.
Yes, I think so too. But yeah, I just... how Michael recognized, and it came full circle, you know, when she says, what I did in the beginning was wrong, you know, and we need to stand for our principles. And just the whole episode had that theme of stay true to who we are, because that's not us.
And the idea of mirroring has been a huge thing with this season. I mean, very obviously with the Mirror Universe episodes, but I loved how this episode really mirrored those first few episodes with Michael taking the opposite side. And, you know, when she tells the Admiral, do we need to have another mutiny here?
Yeah, right? Like, that was so great.
You know, interesting parallels, interesting mirror from the beginning for sure.
Yeah. Well, Ben Greet would like to welcome Ben. He says, haven't managed to watch the episodes before a postcard episode before, so I thought I would comment since I've watched it in time. Yay! He says, love the episode. Didn't expect the Enterprise and let out almost a loud gasp as with Culber. Love the bread and circuses callback. Thought it was especially good considering Emperor Giorgio's plethora of Latin names. However, I didn't really enjoy the return of evil bisexuality from the Mirror Universe. But overall, it's all about Burnham's speech. Felt like a bookend to that first episode and a wrap-up to Discovery's key message. We must move beyond our fear of the other, even in times of danger and peril, and we must stick to our principles and who we say we are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's what Star Trek's all about. And I love when Burnham in an earlier episode talks about the Mirror Universe being based on a fear of the other. And that to me is where, you know, bigotry and xenophobia and all of that comes from, is this irrational fear. And I love the idea of overcoming it and that being what Star Trek's all about.
Yeah, that was another really good theme was, yeah, how do you overcome fear? Yeah, it was great.
I do have another comment for the Star Trek values from Justin Ozer, and one of my favorite comments from the entire thread. I loved the finale, and I'm glad there was no reset and none of the main characters died. I expected a lot of death and shooting, but I was pleasantly surprised that we got just the opposite in the form of understanding and doing what's needed while preserving our principles to end a conflict. That's the kind of inspiring episode I've always loved the most in Star Trek. With the war behind us, we can now explore what's out there. Seeing the Enterprise at the end was amazing, and I'm highly anticipating the second season. It can't come soon enough.
Yes.
And one more, if I can, from Chris Chaplin, that you can tell that the Star Trek ideals is a big thing for me.
It is. Well, and that's what this episode was about. So yes, please, Chris Chaplin. Oh, look, another Chris.
Exactly. So Chris Chaplin says, this finale wasn't as epic in scope as the Mirror Universe arc. It wasn't full of starships firing at each other. It was personal. It was personal for Burnham and Tyler. I love to see him slip into Klingon. It seemed satisfying for him in some way, like a person who's been away from home for too long. Though I'm supposed to dislike that, I feel for him. And then Burnham's reaction to his turn into Klingon mode is sad and made more so by her talk with him later. Although the war wrapped up a bit too easily, the characters we were handled satisfyingly, and we, the audience, are returned to the home that we've been hungry for. A bright, optimistic Star Trek fitted with redemption for Burnham and the beautiful Starship Enterprise.
Oh, yes, that is perfect. I know. I miss the bright, optimistic. It has been dark.
It has been, for sure. Yeah. But I think it's one of those things somebody explained early on, and it got me really behind Discovery, was, you know, if TNG is the bright future that humanity is destined for. Discovery seems to be kind of like how we get there from where we are now. And that kind of made me go, okay, I'm on board.
Okay, yeah. Well, there were some bits and pieces that I just sort of put together, just sort of random comments that didn't really go into a theme. So we mentioned it before, but Christopher Baca says, really love the score in this episode. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the ending title was TOS. So
yeah, nice. That was a nice little treat. Suzanne Williamson says, I loved seeing the Seti eel. Khan never mentioned that you could eat them. I guess it's a Klingon delicacy.
Exactly. Dennis Tremethick says, so Clint Howard has been in every Trek incarnation? And then Justin Ozer says, is Clint Howard the first Discovery actor who has appeared in past Star Trek? I love seeing him, and I hope we see more past Trek actors in Discovery. Let's start with Jeffrey Combs as Shran.
Hear, hear.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he's got to pop up at some point. Mark Rodriguez says, I will say something positive. The Emperor looked totally badass in her landing party outfit. To which Bill Sweet responded, yes, what was that goth cowboy fringe doing on there? So some questions for the costuming department for our listeners.
Jason Sorensen says, that moment when you realize your ex-boyfriend is a bad Ash Klingon amongst his own kind and are sorta impressed.
Clever.
Right? I had to comment, was like, yeah, that's why Burnham was all of a sudden opening up and like, hey.
Totally. Absolutely. Well, Chris Foster says, I'm not sure why so many people want the new captain to be someone we've met before. I have loved meeting these new characters this year, and I want to give the writers the freedom to keep creating more elements for the Star Trek universe. I think pulling someone out of canon to be the captain is limiting. We got our amazing gift from canon with the Enterprise showing up, and it was awesome.
I agree completely, Chris.
Another absolutely. Chris.
I love Burnham and all of these characters, Tilly, Saru, and, you know.
Even Lorca.
Yeah. Oh, I especially love Lorca. But I don't, I mean, okay, so we've seen Sarek, right? That's just sort of a minor character. He's there in the background. I really want it to be someone new that we can learn and build the universe, mm-hmm. not just have the same universe, but build it around the great TOS.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And I mean, they've done so well, like Chris says here, with the original characters. So, mm-hmm. you know, let's trust the writers that they're going to create some interesting and great characters that someday we will think of in the same breath as, you know, Kirk, Spock, Picard, and everyone else.
Yeah. I'm sure you meant to say Troy as well.
Yeah, and Troy. Kidding. Absolutely. Sorry, I got to play to my audience. I forgot. Christopher Mock had some odds and ends comments as well. Liked the TMP Klingon in the High Council scene. Now, I had to have somebody point this out to me. There was a screen grab. There's a Klingon in that High Council scene wearing what looks like TMP era Klingon uniform. Kind of thing going on there. So some wow. interesting little background stuff if you keep yeah. an eye out for that. And I like this one, and I did catch it, and everyone in the room heard me go, oh, Space Dock! He says, anyone catch the movie-era Space Dock under construction? And that was orbiting Earth. It was beautiful. Oh. And of course, there was a fleeting glimpse of a Trill getting a tattoo in that Orion tattoo parlor there, which was pretty cool.
How are you guys picking these out? I saw someone getting a tattoo. I did not see that it was a Trill. You guys are amazing.
Well, Christopher Moak really hopes that it is a Dax. So yes. you never know. He also says, Burnham has her rank back, but now a science officer. Trek canon for this time period and prior suggests the science officer is the first officer, so let's see how that plays. I don't think that's a hard and fast rule. I think that's just kind of how awesome Spock was, but
yeah, right?
He says, picking up the captain on Vulcan could be anyone, as they may have been stranded there during the war and rescued by Vulcans. So yeah, during the episode, they say they're going to pick up their new captain on Vulcan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I wonder what that means. Is it a Vulcan captain? Is it someone else? It could be anybody. Who knows?
Yeah.
And of course, the Enterprise is absolutely gorgeous, and that's coming from someone who hated the 60s era Connie. Ooh, probably not a popular opinion around these parts, but yeah. You're entitled to it.
Yes. Well, Postcards isn't always about reading the good and the wonderful and the love. There are some questions and complaints that we will start with. And Dan McWilliams says, okay, I'm having trouble with the solution to the Klingon War. Give Laurel the bomb so she can blackmail everyone into following her? With a Federation hardware detonator? How? What? Why? Interesting. Hmm. I've said that before, that Tyler could pass as a TOS Klingon. If we were really interested in Klingons looking like that, his transformation could be quite an explanation.
Hmm, interesting. Yeah, I mean, it was wrapped up a little quickly, and I don't know, maybe there's some logical issues with that whole wrapping up, but I don't know. I get the feeling we're not done with the Klingons in season 2. Like, the war's over, but I think personally, it would be crazy if they didn't bring Laurel and Tyler back in some way in season 2. So, but that's all I'm going to say about that before your predictions episode.
Right. I almost blurted mine, but okay.
So Mark Rodriguez says, so none of the Klingons thought to vaporize the Hydra What's-It bomb? They're just going to lay down arms after shedding blood, after drawing blood for months? Not any Klingons I know. A show of strength? I'm sorry, that suspends my disbelief beyond belief. Oh, by the way, did they also not think of putting Laurel in stasis so her bio readings don't terminate and they can change the settings the way the Emperor did? So, yeah. Maybe there are ways around Laurel's control over the Klingon Empire. And
I thought that was just a little weird that it's like, okay, she's got the bomb, but what's to say that's going to last? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it might not, but what's to say, why are they just all of a sudden going to take her word for it?
Like, yeah.
She's a nobody. She's always been a supporter.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking her word for it seemed odd to me that they were just like, oh, okay, we're on board.
Yeah. So, Rick Honey says, I know I'm being picky, but the moon is not that close to Earth. Also, when Saru asks if they have cleared the Sol system, the answer is yes. Despite Neptune or Uranus being still on the view screen, the answer should have been, we will be in 10 seconds, sir.
I hate to say it, but while I was watching it and that line came up, I said the exact same thing out loud. I was like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
There goes Uranus. Or Neptune. Yeah, I'm not sure which one it is, but it was a big blue gas giant.
Oh my gosh.
They're obviously not out of the Sol system yet. Anyway.
Okay, so I'm not crazy because I didn't put two and two together, but they're like, have we cleared? And I'm like, well, what are these things we're passing? It didn't. Okay. See, this is why I do Postcards, is to get everything.
I guess maybe they just had a screensaver on.
Move the mouse, the screensaver is still on.
There you go. Okay, we've solved it. We've retconned the answer there. Excellent. Well, Brian McVicker says, this was an underwhelming, oddly paced episode that spent way too much time hanging around the Klingon strip clubs and caves. It was neat to see the 1701 and hear the TOS end credits cue utilized here, but that and other Easter eggs don't automatically equal a compelling episode of Discovery.
There you go.
There you go. A bit of
I will agree that it felt like a long time there down on Kronos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pacing was odd. We rushed through some parts and then lingered in other parts, I think, a little longer than we needed to.
Yeah. Nicholas Paul Collinson says, I think the only negative for me is that it all happened a bit too quickly. I wish they'd given this episode a bit more room to breathe.
Yeah, I found myself wishing this was a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that sort of normal to have longer finales?
Well, series finales, yeah. Not usually season finales. Usually they're just one episode.
Okay. All right.
Well, Colin Higgins says, I know they needed to tie up loose ends just in case, but I found this episode a bit slow compared to everything that's gone before. It was heading into this episode at warp 9, then they applied the parking brake. A few points I really like the Emperor being, well, herself. A good conclusion to the love story, and, well, what can I say? I may have let out a, oh yeah, baby, when the Enterprise flew in at the end. Major geek out. Now the question is Mr. Spock the science officer? And if so, will Sarek say hello? Well, hopefully not a Vulcan hello. That would be...
there you go. Oh, you're so funny, Dan. So definitely people are saying like the pacing, that it's too slow, it's moved too fast. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did feel definitely a little off for sure. I will grant that.
Kevin Carman says, in many ways, the finale seemed a bit lacking to me. Tilly and the rest of the crew not seeing through the Giorgio story easily made them look a bit too trusting. Likewise, it seemed a bit too simplistic to install Laurel. The plan felt like something Sisko might do, but I'm not sure about Starfleet going along with it. Tyler Stane was an interesting sacrifice. Burnham's speech about Starfleet ideals is appreciated, but at the same time, felt a bit like platitudes. I did like seeing classic uniforms in the background, however.
So yeah, someone else noticed those. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Christopher Lutz says, what does everyone think of the Earth in Danger trope again being used in the finale? It has been used in one form or another in every Star Trek project, Beyond included, since 2002. Is it too much? Interesting point.
Yeah. Earth is in danger. We see it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I get your point. I hear you.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Dan, I think it's time to get some final thoughts. And let's start with a Chris. Christopher Query says, what a long, strange trek it's been. I wish it were longer. Quite a few pleasant surprises. Clint, Giorgio, Ash, and Laurel all survived. No reset button. The Enterprise. After we didn't see the Defiant, I was sure they would avoid showing the Enterprise. Glad I was wrong. Giorgio probably thinks that Burnham's compassion is weakness, but I can't help wonder if she preferred having a crew that didn't want to stab her in the back. Perhaps the new captain is Vulcan.
That's an interesting point about Giorgio. I kind of thought maybe there was a little bit of admiration in her eyes with Burnham and her facing off at the end there. I could have been wrong, but it seems like there was a little like, nice play kind of going on there. And
well, it might be a good discussion point of now we've got Mirror Giorgio in Prime. Is there going to be an arc with that?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. We'll have to save that for it's hard not to speculate.
I really want to.
Well, instead, we'll go to Mark Boder's comment, who says, overall, I liked the episode. I think Ash's decision to stay with Laurel was the correct one. I'm not sure what I think about Mira Giorgio being free to wander the Prime universe, except that she'd better show up again. And that ending with the Enterprise, if they are going to go there, they had better go all in and not just be a tease. The last thing I want to see is, you know, Saru at the start of the next episode going, well, that was an interesting adventure with the Enterprise. Now on to Vulcan. That would not be good. I would not like that.
Right. No teasing there. I see. Yeah, I also agree that Ash and Burnham's relationship ending that way and him supporting and going to be with Laurel, I think that really was the right decision. And I was glad to see that closure between them. And I was also glad that I didn't see the hatred that Burnham had for Tyler anymore, that sort of seemed to, well, I don't love you. Well, I do. I used to love you, but I'm going to wish you well because that's the best thing for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good ending.
Yeah, for sure. Again, to me, it's just all about the characters and yeah, great character moments for sure.
Yeah. Well, Brian Yates says, great ending to the season. I wonder if that was Clint Howard. The credits confirmed it. The ending scene was awesome. I didn't think they'd actually show the Enterprise, just the registry number, when they actually showed both the Enterprise and Discovery nose to nose. That was awesome. Burnham's record is expunged. There is still no record of a mutiny in Starfleet. Wasn't a sticking point for me, but was a common criticism I've seen against the show.
Hmm. Yeah. I have my own thoughts on that because that's something that Star Trek has already violated in its own canon just within the original series, but we'll discuss that another time.
Okay.
Liam Smart says, the episode was good and it was nice to see some things wrapped up. I can't help feel like something was missing from it, though. Either some more sciencey issue / problem with getting into the caves in Kronos, or a little more anger between Burnham and Emperor Georgiou in the shrine. I don't know. Don't get me wrong, though. I thought it was a good episode. I really liked the Orion Outpost. I thought that was good, and the semi-naked Orion guy, too. I teared up in that speech scene with Tilly becoming an ensign and with Culber's medal. I'm not a big fan of TOS, but that was cool seeing the 1701. The special effects of jump into the cave was great. I can't wait for season 2. I hope they do the science and spirituality thing well.
Yes, lots going on in this episode for mm-hmm. sure. That yeah, and when that jump going into Kronos, that was pretty darn awesome.
It was very cool. And I kind of like Stamets, basically, like, well, I'm good, aren't I? Like,
yeah, right? Exactly.
Good moment for that guy. He deserves it.
He does. Lynn Payne says, a great episode and ending to the first season. I just watched it for the second time and liked more this time. Love that Laurel is going to lead the Klingons, and it makes sense that Ashbok went with her. I think we'll see them again in season 2. Burnham's story arc came full circle. She is now the embodiment of Federation and Starfleet ideals. I love the callback to Star Trek 2009 in the scene with Amanda and Burnham. It was the same as the scene with Amanda and Spock, down to touching Burnham's face and holding her shoulders. Spock talked about purging emotions. Burnham talked about remembering her humanity. A nice parallel. Love seeing the Enterprise at the end. I can't wait to see who they cast as number 1. I'm ready for season 2 now.
You and me both, for sure.
Yes.
Christy Keene says, a great ending. Of course they weren't going to blow up Kronos. It was no surprise they'd find another way of resolving things. That said, I hope this doesn't mean we've seen the end of Mary Chifo and Shazad Latif, both of whom have absolutely killed it this season. Can't wait to see who is getting picked up on Vulcan. And of course, the Enterprise? Hurry up, 2019.
I know. I just get here. Mm-hmm. It seems so far away, but it'll come soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, Nicholas Anastasio says, I absolutely love the season finale. Such an amazing punctuation. To detractors of the show, as well as fans who spent all of last week speculating about the explosive badassery and action the producers would need to wrap up the season and the Klingon War, I say watch this episode to see what Star Trek is about and good writers can do. They did it brilliantly without firing a shot and completely in line with what Star Trek is about. Tonight was the night I was very proud to be a Star Trek fan. That ending, OMG, that ending. I guess we have to see Spock in season 2. And the Enterprise is a magnificent lady as she ever was. I'm going to be rewatching that last shot many times.
Echoing, I think, again, a lot of my feelings there. Proud to be a Star Trek fan after this. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, so many, it's like, well, the Klingon War, there's got to be some battle, something major. And not a single shot was fired.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Georgiou did shoot the thing down into the cave, but that's not really a shot.
Yeah, no. Yeah, not a single phaser fire, either ship yeah. or handheld or anything. That was, yeah. that's really cool. That's great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, Eric Chung says, that's how you end a season of Star Trek. For all that talk about how dark this show is and how frequently and disruptive and dark the twists at the end of many of the episodes are, this episode was deliriously happy. There's a, yeah. There's a lot of fun in the episode, and it breathes life into the Klingons in a way never seen before, along with some Gormagander teriyaki. Is Burnham no longer a vegetarian after her Vulcan upbringing? And it includes a cameo by Clint Howard in his fourth Star Trek series. Though there are goodbyes said to a few characters, things are left open enough that we may say a human hello to them in the future. What makes the substance of the episode great, though, is exactly what the trailer teased, a confrontation between winning the war and making the war worth winning by maintaining Federation ideals. This was done cleverly on Burnham's part in a way that required she have faith in her opponents that they are ultimately people. They are even symmetrical shots of Earth and Kronos throughout the episode. Once again, we see the Federation capital at Paris, and there's even a ceremony in a lecture hall that looks very familiar to me, very much like the Long Beach lecture hall used in Star Trek 2009. And there's one last twist to tease the second season, the rumored reveal of Pike's Enterprise. The design of the ship is quite faithful to TOS, with basically one major change, the pylons that look more like the 1701A pylons with a slit in them. It's frankly how the Kelvin Enterprise should have looked. I've been pleased with that. Season 2 can't come soon enough. Yeah, I've seen that a lot. A lot of people saying this is how the Kelvin Enterprise should have looked. Hmm. And yeah, I would have loved to have seen this Enterprise on the big screen, personally, I think.
Huh. Well, Dan, how do you think the fans responded to this week's episode?
Well, I think there's a lot there that a lot of the fans have really loved, which is really good to see. A lot of the continuity references and those, you know, signals to TOS fans that, you know, this show isn't forgetting its roots. It isn't forgetting where it's coming from, but at the same time, it's charting its own course. I've seen a lot of criticism to this episode online, but again, I think to me, that really echoes what is really hard about finales and season finales is people heap so many expectations on it. It's so hard to meet those expectations. To me, this one really knocked it out of the park. I loved it, but I also see where some people have some criticisms. So I think a little bit more mixed than we've seen lately, but mostly positive, I would venture to guess.
Yeah, after reading through the thread, you've got your few negatives, and I'm just wondering, listeners, I hope when people do post negatives that their opinion matters, and it's just as important as anyone else's, mine, Dan's, you know, and if that's how they're feeling, then that's how they're feeling. You know, and you just take it and you can read it or not read it, you know? So I just want to make sure everyone's being nice and respectful. I think everyone has been just, you know, sometimes out there in the harsh world that's not the Babel Conference.
There are some dark places on the internet, and I've been acquainted with a few of them, sadly. And it's, yeah, sometimes the open discussion needs to be fostered. And I think the Babel Conference is a really good place for that. So yeah. Regardless of your opinion, as long as you're not trying to force it on someone else or belittling somebody because their opinion doesn't match yours, I think any and all discussion is always good.
Yeah, agreed. Well, be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout this last week. Oh, I can't believe it's coming to an end. So live from the edge, why do I even read this? It's already happened. It was on Monday, you guys. You missed it. It's with Bruce and Brandy. But you know what? It drops as a podcast. So you can go back and listen to those live responses. Our commentary is Tracks from the Edge, and that's with Mike Schindler. And of course, you got Postcards on Thursday, and the main show, The Edge with Brandon. That comes out on Fridays. And then you'll have Notes from the Edge from Chris, and that comes out on Saturday, Sunday. So you can find all of these in the main feed for The Edge and in the Trek.fm master feed. We, of course, would love to hear your thoughts on Discovery. The best place to do that is the Babel Conference. You can also find us on Twitter at Trek.fm or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. That will come right to me. So, Dan, where can people find you here on the network and elsewhere?
Well, on the network, you can find me hosting Literary Treks with my wonderful co-host Bruce Gibson, where we talk about the Star Trek books and comics that hopefully everyone is reading while we wait with bated breath for season 2 of Star Trek Discovery. And elsewhere, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Kertrats, that's Kertrats. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/Kertrats Productions, talking about Star Trek, of course, because, you know, whether it's on Trek FM or elsewhere, that's pretty much all I do nowadays. And of course, you can find me in the Babel Conference. And Amy, if you're not giving an awkward salute to the mirror Georgiou with Burnham telling you, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Where can we find
you? That was so good. Well, you can find me here on the network. I am on Earl Grey. That's our Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the next generation. And I do that with Justin Ozer and Richard Marquez. I am on Twitter at Miss Amy Nelson. But my favorite place also is the Babel Conference. So again, listeners, just want to throw it out there. 2 more episodes next week. Look for the discussion thread for your overall thoughts on the season as a whole chapter in a book, as people are saying. And then the following, we will get your predictions. So just hang on to your predictions. Just hold your horses on those. So we would like to thank our associate producers, and they are Norman Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Puleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, and Cornelia Reutner. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an associate producer yourself, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. Well, Dan, thank you for coming on Postcards. So excited you started us off at the beginning, and now coming around full circle, just like Michael Burnham.
Wow, well, I'm so honored to have been invited on for the final regular episode of Discovery. So thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yes. And I need to come back on Literary Treks.
Yes, I agree completely.
Okay, we'll make that happen.
Absolutely.
Well, join us next week for another episode of Postcards from the Edge. Hailing frequencies open.